Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told.
Recording in progress.
Every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man.
Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are listening to this live or on podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us for another edition of Brother to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman and Dr. Keelan Hinton. And we are here for all of your mental health, love, relationship, attachment, and community needs. For those that would like to participate in the show, you can contact us at b2bpsych@gmail.com. That's B, the number 2B, psych@gmail.com. Again, as we always say, we like to thank Marshall University as well as WMUL 88.1 FM for giving us this platform to talk about very, very needed issues about mental health, community, love, relationship needs, and everything else in between. But as we always say, any of the comments, suggestions, or ideas that you hear on this show are not represented by Marshall University, are not represented by WMUL 88.1 FM, any of their supporters, affiliates, or sponsors, but these are the sole perspectives and ideas of myself, as well as myself, Dr. Keelan Hinton, Dr. Nate Chapman, or any of our guests or any panelists that we have on. So as we always say, and as Dr. Chapman loves to remind us because he likes to cover himself, this may be therapeutic, but this is not what, Dr. Chapman?
Not therapy. Yes, it is true that you're speaking with two psychologists and another mental health professional, but this is not therapy. We do hope that you get therapy, but don't be trying to what you do on us saying that you got the radio therapy. This is not that.
Exactly. So now that all bases are covered, let's rock and roll. Again, we are continuing with our series on greatness, and we have heard some interesting perspective. We've heard a diverse perspective. We've been given jewels beyond imagine. And tonight, again, we are very proud and we are very happy. We have another heavy hitter on with us tonight. So again, we know that we will hear great things. Our guests will drop jewels for us, and we won't hold you long. We're going to get to his journey. But as always, we always like to give a mental health check-in, see how everybody's doing. Gentlemen, how are we doing this evening? Dr. Chapman, how is... Dr. Chapman always likes to brag about sunny California, so we will give him this. We will give him his space so he can go ahead and tell us how it never rains and he never really gets too cold or too hot. And, you know the birds and the just look different in California, so... How are you, sir? How are things?
California dreaming. Yeah, everything is good.
You know what? You ain't right. We're used to you by now. We know you're going to gloat. That's fine. We are in almost heaven, West Virginia. And gosh darn it, we're happy where we are. So we know he's just a little bit jealous. I always say we thank those who continue to support the show, continue to send us questions, comments, suggestions. If you have any questions, comments, suggestions, or ideas about anything that's said on the show, again, or for panelists, for topics, for book writers, whatever you want, please let us know by all means, okay? So with we don't want to lose a moment. So I'll turn it over to Dr. Chapman. Again, we have a very special guest who is absolutely amazing, has an amazing story. We'll turn it over to Dr. Chapman. He'll give an introduction and we'll rock and roll.
All right. Well, tonight we got a real treat. We got Dr. Jaime Ancelada. Had the opportunity to start working full time and around the same time, even though he had been with Miami-Dade longer than myself. Then in his station post at Miami-Dade College, which is the largest institution of higher learning in the United States with over 8 campuses. And last time I checked, the number was like 184,000. It might have changed. It's been years. I'm not sure. But doing great work there. He has had the role of faculty administration and now is a part of the senior administration, has been in that for a while. See, his current role as Vice Provost of Student Affairs and Chief Enrollment Officer. We're going to get a chance to hear his story tonight. And when I think about stories, I think he has a real interesting one. And it ties into our theme about greatness. So hopefully, while we're listening to his story, we'll be able to pick up some of the ingredients for greatness and be able to use that for our own journeys. So we'll just start there with Dr. Ancelotti. If you could just tell us how you got to your current post, tell us about your journey and your story.
Thank you so much, Dr. Chapman, and thank you so much, Dr. Hinton, also for this opportunity, and to the guests that are listening. It's funny, when I hear the adjective greatness tied into my name, it's still surreal. Right. It really is. And for the sake of this conversation, feel free to call me Jaime. I'm talking to you from Miami, Florida. So I live where a lot of individuals vacation. Actually, I live in Hialeah, Florida, which in Spanish we call it a barrio, right? Or the hood. I decided never to leave where I started. And to me, that connects me to my roots. It connects me to everything, and it really keeps me grounded, right? A lot of my friends tell me, Jaime, why don't you live in Brickell, which is a very upscale area in Miami? You know, why don't you live somewhere else? And I choose to stay here because, once again, you know, it's all about story and the impact that we're able to make. So I'll share a little bit about my story. So when I see my name, and I'm looking at my name right now, Dr. Jaime Ancelotas, and I read the titles that Dr. Chapman shared, that was not always the case. I was a very shy, sheltered, introverted kid growing up, was bullied throughout my journey, was very shy, insecure, depended a lot on my mother. Talk about now that I studied, I have a PhD in conflict resolution, master's degree in clinical social work, and then I went back for a second master's degree in psychology. I hated school, right? I felt that I did not fit in. What most considered school, their safe haven, for me, it was a place where I felt unsafe and I did not feel that I belonged. So, I grew up in a very overprotective Hispanic household. When we talk about anchor, when we think about, things that how I grew up, my mother was my rock. My mother was my compass, someone that I would look to for direction, for guidance, for support. So high school was so rough that I decided to drop out of high school when I was 16 years old. To me, that was the best news I could have ever heard. And my mom said, all right, Jaime, you can drop out, but get your GED. So I said, you know, I'll say that and I'm never going to go back. I wanted to be an actor. Right. So I said, you know, I'll do some Spanish telenovela, soap opera, and I'll become this famous actor, win an Emmy, right? Win an Oscar. Actually, I had two dreams growing up. I wanted to go to Broadway and buy a computer, but our economic resources did not allow that. We had Section 8, we had food stamps, and there were times that going to McDonald's was like going to a Michelin star restaurant. Yeah. You know, fast forward, I dropped out of high school. October 5th, actually, funny that this is today because 25 years ago yesterday, I'm watching a soap opera in Spanish at my house in 5 minutes from where I live now, still Hialeah, Florida. I had decided to go back to night school because I knew that, I had made a promise to my mother for me to get my GED. So I enrolled in the night school program on August 1997. October 5th, 1996, we're laying down watching television and I hear a very, very loud scream. I didn't know if, you know, when sometimes you are between sleep and not, and I heard a scream, and when I opened my eyes, I saw what I thought it was my mother jumping like a fish out of water, grasping for air at 43 years old. In that moment, my life changed. In that moment, I saw my compass, my rock, my reason for being, literally being stripped away from me. She died at 43 years old in front of me and my younger brother, who was 14. Wow. It's still surreal, right? As if, you know, think about getting lost in the Sahara Desert, right, without a compass, without knowing what's north, south, east, or west. My father was a butcher working at the local grocery store, and we were struggling financially. So my mom and my dad would really clean the supermarket where my father used to cut meat and be a butcher. So at that moment, I had a choice, right? I could either become a victim of my circumstances or become a survivor. How I did it 25 years later, I still don't know. I still don't, right? Call it God, call it karma, call it the universe, whatever helps people cope, right? Let's call it that. I remember going to night school from 3 p.m. to 10 p.m. I did 2 years in one. I was still able to, you know, to graduate at 17. At 10 p.m., we would go and we would clean houses, my brother, my dad, and I, in order to make ends meet because we could not afford the bills, even with government assistance. All the while, I had to be the emotional rock for my dad and my brother at 16, turning 17, while I was still grieving. I didn't know what catharsis was. I didn't know what venting was. All these terms that I am able to use as a therapist and as a clinician and as a trained professional, I had no idea what that was. In my culture, people would always tell me, don't share, don't cry. It's a sign of weakness. There's a stigma. If I sought out help, my father would think, did I do something wrong? Did we not raise you? Am I not doing enough? And it was not until I graduated the night school program that my life changed when I started at Miami-Dade College. I remember being at Westland Mall at the Hialeah campus, which was about 10 minutes from where I lived. And I saw a sign that said enrolled now. I went and I said, you know, I am interested in starting college, but I'm a dropout. It's the first thing, right? The imposter syndrome, right? The lack of self-worth, the lack of believing that it was possible. Those things didn't happen to people with my accent, right? College was not for someone that looked the way I look. That's not the way that media portrayed people with my story. Lost my mother, public assistance, you know, cleaning houses, did custodial work. That's not what happens to people with our story, right? The expectation for me was to get a job and live paycheck to paycheck for the rest of my life. So Miami-Dade College made the impossible possible. I had a group of individuals that believed in me, that taught me the importance of education, a father that took on two more jobs to help pay for a car so that I could get to college, started working at the college when I was 17 years old, making $5.15 an hour, which I still have that paycheck. Wow. I was lucky enough to be given the opportunity. And something that I really want to say, in life, it's not about getting there. Anyone can be given an opportunity. How do we maintain that? And that's something that has always been my driving force to push through. Feel free to, if you have to stop me and I'll continue, right? But this is, so I became a full-time advisor by the age of 23 when I got my bachelor's degree. Got my master's degree by 24. I got the opportunity to be an administrator at 24 at the number one community college in the nation. I was a student life director. Did that for 7 years. After that, I got the opportunity to be a full-time faculty member. I taught in the human services program for students that wanted to be social workers or human services professionals. I did that. And after that, I was given the opportunity to be the dean of students at the college. Did that for 7 years. And now I am currently the vice provost of student affairs, as Dr. Chapman stated, and the chief enrollment officer at the college. But that really means nothing, right? Degrees and titles mean nothing if I am not able to give back. Throughout my journey, I've never forgotten where I started, right? I've never forgotten that there were times where I too was in the place where students are at. And the biggest challenge for my job now is how don't I let the macro, right, the big level, global level, you know, day-to-day operations affect my ability to connect with students and to still be real, yeah. Right? Because that's something that happens to the self, right? We are so afraid of becoming who we were that we forget and we lose ourselves. And then there's that dissonance because of that fear. So for me, I have friends and I have people that have kept me grounded to not forget that. And I could continue going, but I'm sure that there's more questions. So I want to give you an opportunity to, you know, to ask or to, you know, share my experience about therapy and the first time I went to therapy and how that was. But I'll turn it over to you all and see if you have any more questions. I'm sure you.
Yeah, I think that's a good, you know, a good start to the story. I'm gonna let you go, Keelan, if you have any questions, but just encouraging you to share wherever you're at with the story. I think for you, the richness of the story is really something that's potent for our listeners.
Yeah, I am one, you've just started and it's amazing already. But two, the idea the mindfulness to want to stay connected. You could live anywhere. And that is so important because a part of what happens is, you know, my grandmother tells this story about after desegregation, everybody with black that was black that, you know, she said, I lived in a neighborhood that we had a black lawyer that stayed next door to a black dentist that stayed next door to a black construction worker. Mm. And then there was a point after desegregation, everybody with money moved out and kids didn't have role models. And the idea that you still stay in your hood is absolutely amazing because kids have an available role model to say, hey, that dude right there. And so many of us leave and never come back. How did that become so important to you? That was there a certain point in the journey that you was like, was it just always know you, or was there a point that you was like, it's so important for me to stay here so I can be a role model for my people? Like, how did that all come about? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting, right? Because and I think that there's a certain level of privilege, right, with my ability to stay where I live and still live the life that many are not able to. Right. And and something that I do is I check my privilege at the door. Right. Because, yes, I may live in El Barrio, right, in my hood, but I could get in my Tesla and go wherever I want. Right.
Gotcha.
I could go to that restaurant and luckily don't look at price and be able to have a meal. So all that being said, I don't think that makes me a superhero. Right. Because I stay where I'm at. That makes me real. Right. I remember saying before I got my PhD, when I get my PhD, because to me it was so unattainable. And I struggled so much in that process. There were days that I would look at that blank Word document and I would cry myself to sleep and say, Jaime, who are you kidding? Yeah. Who are you kidding? You got lucky that you got a master's degree, for crying out loud. Now you're gonna go to a PhD, 1% of the population has it, and you think you're going to be able to achieve that? So for me, my ability to be connected meant absolutely everything. So I decided to stay because I wanted to be connected to who I was. We could easily forget that, right? And after I got my PhD, I said, if it were up to me, to me, titles and degrees, really, it's very hierarchical, right? And when I speak publicly, I do a lot of motivational speaking and I share my story. And some of my colleagues say, Jaime, why are you sharing all this, right? The fact, you know, I learned to embrace instead of be ashamed of my story, right? When I get in front of a podium, I don't say Jaime Ansaloda. No, I am Jaime Ansaloda that was born in Puerto Rico, came when I was 7, and cleaned floors.
Yeah.
No shame in the game, right? Because it disassociates you from who you were. And for me, I've seen so many friends of mine that have totally disconnected from who they were, that for me, it's not only being able to stay where I live, but also understanding privilege, understanding that my lived experience allows me to do things that others are not able to, right? And that's important. That's important as well. So I don't consider myself for doing that. I consider myself grounded and centered, if that makes sense.
Makes a lot of sense. I wonder how much of it, and I'm sorry, I didn't mean to, Dr. Chapman, if you had a question, but how much of that, I wonder how much of that is you accepted your situation and decided to not become a victim. I wonder if people don't go back. They want to forget who they are because it's hard thinking about all of the trauma and all of the pain, and we just want to forget it. And it seems like there was a point in your identity development that you just accepted these experiences as experiences that you would use to help you grow and evolve.
Correct. I 100%. And, you know, and if I would tell you that, you know, an acceptance is a word that is really relative as well, right? I think that do I still grieve? Absolutely. I broke down 3 times yesterday, right, on my mom's 25 year, you know, anniversary of her death, right? Are there times that, you know, with this new role that I would walk into the presidential suite and I would look around and I would see my name and it's there and I have my business card, right? But sometimes it is hard, right, to really fully embrace. And my advice to the listeners would be that it's a matter of accepting what you're ready for when you're ready for it, right? Because re-traumatization is a thing, right? And I'm not, you know, I would hate to say that it was easy for me, you know, and I would be lying if I would say that I have all the answers or that I got it all right. This is something that has worked for me in how I have been able to understand the past so that it does not become my present or even worse, my future, right? And at some point I had that aha moment, right, that I had to understand what happened in order for me to be able to carry on and be okay enough to share that without it affecting me to the point where I'm not able to be functional.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. You know, being familiar with you and having worked with you, I know, you know, we were kind of going through our doctorate journey at the same time. And I wonder if you could speak to, I don't know, maybe some advice for people that are finishing school, regardless of what the degree is, while they're having to work and they're seeing their peers that don't have to do that. And what helped you get through the challenge of working full time and going to school, which many Miami-Dade college students have to do?
Yeah. So the one advice is that it can be done, right? That it is possible for it to happen, and that it's not something that the other can do and not the self, which for me, it was a struggle. Dr. Chapman and I agree, right? We were going through the same journey, you know, and there were times that I would literally wonder, is this even possible? The other piece of advice is don't compare yourself to anyone else, right? This is a very personal journey, whether it be a certification, right? Whether it be a doctoral degree, everyone grows, evolves in a very different pace. Everyone knows where they're at that current moment. After my PhD, I decided to go back for a master's degree, right? And after much processing, it was due to that fear of going back to not having it, right? Yeah. So even at this level, whatever that means, right? And when I hear the word greatness, we're only one bad decision away from losing everything we have, right? At least that is my perception, right? It's the choices we make and how we prioritize ourselves to get to where we're at. And self-care is the number one priority. Coming from someone that is the emotional rock for their family, I could honestly tell you that the only way that I was able to get that doctorate degree is by establishing very clear boundaries, right, with my friends and my families. Most of the people that I had that were friends, they're no longer my friends. They could not understand that I could not kick it or hang out, right, because I had a paper due. They did not understand that. Family members that were upset when I would spend extra time at the library. But those boundaries for me worked. And honestly, having clear conversations to anyone that is going through their journey of school, regardless of the degree, speak to your significant other and explain your process. My father could not understand, forget about a PhD, what a certification was, because in his mind, that was the unknown to him. So it took me educating him, me educating my brother, so that I could get that support. And lastly, don't ever expect those around you to fully understand your journey. They may not be able to, yet they must respect and embrace it, right? There's a very, very big difference. My dad would make me my favorite Cuban dish, because that's all he thought he could do. To me, that meant more than him doing anything else, right? So yeah, don't expect more from others than what they could give. Sit down, explain to others what your journey is, but more importantly, put yourself first and implement self-care.
Yeah, I think those are all good points and hopefully encouraging for anybody going through that journey. And you can put in place, it doesn't have to be education, whatever other thing you're doing, trying to get a goal. The saying that I like to say is that you got to pay somewhere. If you're trying to get a degree while you're working, that there's some sacrifice that has to be made. You got to pay it somewhere. And if you decide not to do that, then you will pay for it somewhere. Not that it has to be education per se, but each choice has a consequence and you have to choose what consequence it is that you want to pay. And when it comes to that statement you made about everybody is not on your journey and doesn't have to understand, I think it's important for people to really get that, because sometimes we get salty at people who don't understand our journey. And I know in my own schooling, people don't understand, like, well, what do you mean you got to do practicums now? You got to do an internship? What? Like, I thought that's, isn't that an undergraduate thing? I don't understand why you ain't like done with that. So, yeah.
Let me give a quick station identification. This is WMUL 88.1 FM on your dial, and this is Brother to Brother with Dr. Nate Chapman and Dr. Keelan Henson. And we are so very blessed and honored to have Dr. Anzalota. Yes, very good. Thank you, sir. Dr. Anzalota, and he is absolutely giving us jewels and giving us bits and pieces and jewels about greatness, his perspective on perseverance, and everything else in between. And we're so blessed and honored to have him here. We're going to keep it moving and keep it going. One of the questions that we ask all of our guests, and it started from a conversation we had about greatness and narcissism. Now, we have toiled and toiled over this, and we've refined it. And the question is, how necessary is ego strength in the process? And I like that term a lot better. That's Dr. Chapman's term, this idea of maybe it's not narcissism, but you have to have a steadfastness, a strong ego, in order to believe that you can do something that many people on the planet don't do. How very necessary do you think that is?
Well, you're asking the wrong person. Dr. Chapman and I work together. So for me, though, you know, and it's interesting, because if you would have told my 15-year-old self that I would be doing what I would be doing now, I would have never believed it. Because I now consider myself an extremely confident and self-assured person, I would think that is extremely necessary, right? Okay. That self-worth, that awareness of self-worth, that level of confidence, it's not a matter of fake it till you make it, it's fake it until you believe it, right? And that's something that I've always said to myself. It's not about faking it, because then you cannot maintain it, right? Yeah. When you look at my trajectory, I would say that it took me not knowing to understand and learn in every position that I've had. And in every particular goal that I've wanted to pursue. Oftentimes, even now, when I walk into a room, I look around and I say, who's number two? Because I got this. Yeah. And I tell that to myself, because deep inside, there is still that shelter shy and introverted child that if I don't check, could come out sometime, right? So for me though, it's a matter of understanding your worth, but also don't be afraid to throw yourself in the middle of the ocean. Yeah. Right? There's only two options. You're going to sink or swim. And sinking has never been an option for me. So I think that is extremely important. Now, to the introverts that are listening, it's not a matter of you having to change who you are as an individual or your personality. It's about believing in yourself that it can be achieved. And whenever you don't think that you can, look at individuals like me who are making it. And notice how I didn't say have made it. Right? Because it's an everlasting journey. When we look at Maslow, right, I wonder, will I ever reach self-actualization? Right? I mean, what's the limit? Right? Because that's the other side, right? Will it ever be enough? Right? I think that all of us should really create or have certain milestones that we want to accomplish, right? Because that's what drives us. That's what motivates us. And for me, and I don't know if you know, this is ego or not, but I've kept journals for the last 15 years of my life, right? And wow. And that has kept me on check. And there are times that I go back to those journals and I say, wow, right? 10 years ago, I was hoping to get a full-time job at the college and here I am today. But then there are other goals that I have not accomplished, which inspire me and motivate me. Because it's very easy to get caught up on success or what people call failure, yeah. Right? And oftentimes you're so in it that you don't realize that you're in it. So confidence, self-worth, documentation, milestones, and celebrate those milestones. Yeah. What may be a huge milestone to you may be a minimal milestone to the other one and vice versa. For some individuals, getting up in the morning is a milestone. Celebrate it. Celebrate yourself for doing that. Give yourself the ability and the space to embrace those milestones.
Yeah. You know, there was one other thing you mentioned, like two different angles on the idea of sink or swim. You're getting around this idea of failure. And you can probably appreciate this. I remember in some of my student life skills classes that I would teach, one of the biggest things that students would have, whether it was the ones just coming in or the ones back on probation, was that they were going to fail. And I wonder if you could just give any of your thoughts on failure, but specifically on, I guess there's a number of different schools of thoughts. I know a person who has this mindset that failure is not an option, which I'm against. The only reason I'm against failure is not an option is because I have a belief that failure is sometimes necessary. So let me just make this question more specific. Was there a time that you thought you were drowning and then you actually realized after a period of time, it taught you how to swim?
100%. And a lot of that is because of my own expectations, right? Which oftentimes are unrealistic, right? And I think that has a lot to do of where I was before, right? And fear of going back to that, right? And when I say that, I mean struggling financially, right? I mean not having a secure paycheck or fearing where I was going to pay the next bill. So absolutely, right? There have been times that I felt that I am drowning when in reality, I've been thriving, right? When I've been the Michael Phelps, right, in the Olympics and others have complimented me, yet I have felt, right, that my work was being mediocre, right? And not only professionally, but also personally, mm-hmm. right? Because that's also a very interesting give and take. Right? Because we may be succeeding in one aspect of our lives, but the other one may be lacking. So to me, is that really this, the intersectionality or, you know, the combination of who we are as individuals who create that holistic being, right? Which is who we are. And that's also very important, right? Because there are individuals that look at from one extreme to the other. So absolutely, you know, and myself and therapy has helped a lot. Right. And I could share a little bit more at the moment where I decided to go to therapy. But I've been in therapy for about 2 years now. And even a realization and Dr. Hinton, you spoke about how dare I go to therapy? Right. Here I am. Who's better than me? Here I am. At that time, 35 years old, PhD, great position, great salary. And I'm going to go to someone that doesn't know nearly how much I know, telling me how to live my life. Come on. Right.
Yeah,
and it was my ego, my ignorance, right? Because education does not make someone bright, right? I mean, to me, I know a lot of individuals that are not college graduates and have taught me the biggest lessons of my life, right? So to me, that understanding of realizing, right, that I needed to go to therapy and that that was healing, because there were a lot of issues that I needed closure on, right? And that I was doing at 100 miles an hour professionally, but there were issues that would still come up, right? So that has really helped me also sort of check my own expectations and create a work-to-life balance that is healthy and sustainable.
Right. So I do have a follow-up question about that. I think it's good that you bring that up, because I think particularly for people that are high achievers, right? Sometimes there can be a combination of just high achieving itself, but then coming from an environment or situation where high achieving was kind of necessary because you were taking care of something. You want to be in a situation where you don't end up in poverty. Situations that people that haven't come from poverty can't really understand and don't get it, because they have the luxury of not having to worry about that. In addition to that, there might be the cultural things that you mentioned that make people just kind of like against therapy. But here's the other one that I've noticed in my work that I think there's another layer to it, right? Once you become a professional, particularly a mental health professional, even though you're a mental health professional, you might start even more of, more discrimination on whether you would use it or not. Because maybe you've known, you've seen some of the people, you're good friends with other people that are therapists, and you're like, well, I don't know, they don't really have their stuff together. And like, I don't know if I would be able to trust people. Anyway, so that's just my experience. So I wonder if you would share how you came to that decision and then how that you think that helps with your greatness.
Yeah. So I'll tell you, so in November 7, 2019, I had to have immediate surgery. I had to have, really urgent surgery. I could have died, right? And they didn't know whether or not, you know, things were very, 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 very bad. I went to the OR, came back, was in recovery for 7 days in the hospital, got out, started bleeding severely from my wound, got extremely infected, had to go back to the hospital for 7 days, and then had to go to wound care for an additional 7 days. It had been, and talk about literally walking and bleeding out. Mm. I mean, this will be a TED talk someday, right? It was the first time in a very long time that I was not able to solve an issue by giving a credit card, a debit card, or talking myself out of a situation.
Wow.
Because I had placed myself in a position that either, and I'm not rich, right? But I've done, you know, I put myself in a position where take the credit card, take the debit card, or I have connections, I would get myself what I want. It was the first time that did not matter. And that I had no control, absolutely none of what was next.
Mm.
I had read about depression. I had assisted people with depression. I was such in a dark place that I was not able to see the next day. You know, when people would say, you know, next month, next week, I was trying to get through today.
Yeah.
Right. And taking a shower and getting out of bed was my milestone. After having all these titles, after having all these responsibilities, that means nothing. I was out of work for 2 months, which, Dr. Chapman, you know how my work ethic, and the first time in 24 years that I had ever done that. And I realized I cannot do this by myself. I can't. I don't have the answers. And there's no credit card, debit card, or microphone that I could turn on that would help me in this situation. So I reached out and I started receiving therapy, right? And I can tell you that it was the best gift that I allowed myself to receive. And I say allow, because to me words matter, right? Because and at that moment, degree didn't matter, position didn't matter, and I allowed myself to be vulnerable. I allowed myself to heal through this other person where was responsible to some extent or was helping me in my healing. And you talked about how that tied into greatness. That made me great My vulnerability made me great. My ability to recognize a problem and find a solution made me great. My ability to embrace the other, right, made me great. And, you know, for me, it was such an aha moment, right? I'm going to quote Oprah, right? Love Oprah, right? It was such an aha moment where it helped. It helped, you know, and I still am going to therapy. You know, I do recommend therapy to absolutely everyone. To me, you know, you cannot, I feel, my opinion, you cannot do this work without receiving help. You can't, right? You know, or if you're going through something that is personal or taxing, reach out to someone, right? Reach out to someone that, you know, that is an external entity that is not biased, that could truly give you the best advice. And I was lucky, right? Because finding the right therapist is like finding your date on Tinder, right? You need to, you know, swipe a couple of times, right? To finally find it, right?
Because I think that's hard for people too.
Yeah. So, you know, give yourself a chance, right? I mean, I was lucky, right? I was, see Dr. Hinton laughing, but I was lucky that I stayed with the first person that I tried, right? She is excellent. And, you know, give yourself a chance, you know, and we already have, especially, you know, I mean, I'm Hispanic, which I'm sure you could all tell because of my accent, right? Give yourself a chance. We have these preconceived notions that therapy is for crazy people. And I hate using that terminology, but that's how I grew up. I remember, you know, right after my mom died, telling my dad that I was going to go to therapy. He says, Jaime, am I not doing something right? You know, and it was that realization that this is not ourself. So for those of you that have tried therapy or for some of you that, you know, have not found the right therapist, keep on looking, right? They're out there. You know, for me, it worked out. It really did. So.
Yeah.
I have so many questions. I don't even know where to start. But just staying in this groove, could you talk a little bit about self-care and how important self-care is in this journey? Because I think that so often we all get so driven that we lose sight of we aren't any good to anyone, especially when all of us being healthcare providers and we love other people and we are constantly pouring ourselves into other people. And you mentioned self-care earlier. Could you just talk a little bit about that? How important, tell the people listening how important it is. It is not selfish to try to take care of yourself or to do something for yourself and you have to make time for that. Just talk about how important that is.
Sure. You know, and I'll start by saying that I fully recognize that I'm not where I need to be with self-care, right? I think that self-care is, it evolves, right? And it's something that we could always improve on a daily basis. So my PhD is in conflict resolution, right? So something that I really hone in is the importance of solving intrapersonal conflict, right? Which what that is the conflict with the self, right? Okay. The internal struggles, conflict, battles that we have within ourselves. And how, if that is not addressed or dealt with, how it's projected interpersonally, meaning with others, your partner, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your spouse, your brother, your sister, etc. So it is critical, right, that we look at the self and we take care of the self because we're all we got, right? We're not getting another Jaime, right? We're not getting another Keelan, and we're not getting another Nate. That's all we have. So, and I spoke earlier about boundaries, right? It's okay to be selfish because if I were not selfish, I could not take care of those that need me most. If I am not in a place of peace and awareness, I could not be good for my job. I could not be good for my family, and I cannot be good for others. And then it's projected onto others anyway. People will not want to be around you. They won't. They don't have to, right? They just don't have to. So it is critical on addressing those issues because it's projected, right? And I'm sure that all of you could think of a time that you've burst out of anger into someone or you've said the wrong thing. If you really take the time to process, most of the time you would realize that you were projecting, right? You were releasing that stress onto the other person. And let me tell you, you are not worth putting someone else in distress. You're not. Yeah. You're not. Because you allow yourself not to understand. And this process is painful, right? Something that I say all the time is when I used to teach in, you know, at the college was, you know, in order to heal, you have to feel. It's right. This process requires feeling, requires healing. I would tell my students, right, think of having a mirror. I would turn off the lights of the class and I would say, imagine this mirror that is right in front of you, right? And you have your reflection. You get up, the mirror shatters on the floor. You stand up and you see yourself in shattered pieces, right? What would it take to put that together, right? You need to bring yourself back. In that process, what may happen, right? You're going to cut yourself. You're going to feel, you're going to, right? But those scars that you may get is what has taught you or what is teaching you to put yourself back together. And the pain that you have dealt by putting yourself together is the only way that you're going to be whole again, right? Wow. So is it a painful process? Yes, right? You know, am I going to sit here and, you know, and tell you all that, you know, we don't feel every single day, and just because I have a fancy title and three letters after my name, I have all the answers? No, I'll be a fake. Right? We try to get it right, but the one common thread, and I think the one thing that really puts us all in the same category, is that we're human.
Yeah.
And emotions are universal. And there's power in that, I believe.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I told you I could ask questions. Can I get one more, Dr. Chapman?
Listen.
Okay. Before we go, we got 10 minutes. We got time for this. Do you remember, and I should have asked you this earlier, but I didn't. Do you remember when your behavior became goal-directed? Like, when you started to go after a specific thing? Yeah. Because at one point, it's like, oh, I'll get my GED. And he's like, oh, I want to go to college. And then at some point, it became, okay, I want to be the provost. I want to be. Do you remember when that happened? And what was that, just a matter of you finding yourself to figure out, you know, how does all that coincide with identity development and all that kind of stuff? I'm sorry, go ahead.
So for me, I've been very lucky that very early on, I've known my purpose, okay. Right? I think that is a gift that I have, right? Like I said, some people call it God, others call it the universe. And for me, it has been in stages, right? I remember going to the hospital when I was told that my mom passed away, because she died in my arms, but I didn't know it until I got to the hospital and I was told the news that my life had changed, right? And that I had to do something, and that I had to be better, and that I had to do better, because I did not like the place where I was at. Right. I did not like the life I had. It was uncomfortable. There was struggle, and I did not like it. And when I started at the college and I started seeing that it was possible for me, that was a realization, right? That I could, that it was not them, that it was I, right? That it was not, you know, an external entity, right, with a last name that was different from mine, right, that someone that looked how I look was able to achieve it. And then for me, I've always wanted to help people, right? The one thing that I've done throughout my career, I've mentored many individuals that are now doctors, lawyers, you know, and me continuing with that goal allowed me to do more. Right. And that was my drive. That was my motivation. The first time, you know, like I said earlier, my dream was to, you know, buy a computer and go to Broadway. When I first got my master's and I went to New York City, and I was sitting, it was the Lion King, and I was sitting in rear mezzanine. I was all the way in the back. And people think that I, you know, that I had cried, that I was crying because Mufasa had died. No, I was crying because I was on Broadway. I mean, I was weeping like a child. Because at that moment, I said to myself, wow, it could happen. It's happening. you know, and then I've just wanted more, right? I've wanted more, you know, and my drive has been an ability to impact, an ability to give back, an ability to just do more, right? And be better.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
You know, and I'm sorry, but I do want to say something for those that are listening that may wonder why things happen, right? Because let's face it, life is not easy, right? Life throws us many curveballs. I have been able to realize through the different experiences of my life that hadn't what happened to me happened, meaning my mother's passing, when that happened, I would not be where I am today. And I've been gifted that realization a couple of years ago. So I'm not saying that everything happens for a reason. That's not what I'm saying, because I would never say that. But for me, it was a realization that I surrendered that, right? And I had to release a lot of anger. I had to release a lot of victimization, right? Because although I chose to be a survivor, not a victim. The reality is that I lost my mother at a very young age, and the trauma that is associated with that is huge, right? So me surrendering that really did help also in my evolution as a human being. And I did not say as a professional, right? I said as a human being. Yeah. So, you know, if you're going through a dark time, you know, if you're going through a difficult time, do not, there is light at the end of the tunnel. There really is. And life will make you understand at some point, maybe like it has for me, you know, what happened. At least that's what worked for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We still got 5 minutes. So I'm wondering if you could just give us your definition of greatness and who is the person or people you look up to and think, well, this person or these people embody that for me.
So my definition of greatness is, you know, being real, right? Being authentic, giving back, being a change maker, you know, and there's a lot more, but right. But to me that term is really relative also, right? Because to me being great does not necessarily mean having a degree, right? Or having a good position. To me being great is being empathetic, right? Being able to stop and embrace others and not feeling sorry for people, but understanding where they come from. And that's the big difference between empathy and sympathy. I don't want people feeling sorry for my story. I want people to understand me and understand where I come from, you know, and that's how you treat people with dignity and respect, right? And that really matters. And that really makes a difference. I've had a lot of people, Nate, you know, that I've looked up to, throughout the years. Many of them are at the college, right? And I've, you know, it's my father, right? Family members, friends, you know, that I've had, colleagues. You know, I am drawn, you know, to women, and I think those are my own mommy issues, right? that you know, that we're still dealing with, right? Looking for that, for those individuals that will fill the space. And I've been blessed enough that I've met individuals that have truly taken the time to embrace me and to allow me to be me and to provide me with opportunities where I have maintained their level of trust and worked with everyone. So, I mean, I'm lucky for the opportunities. I don't take anything for granted. Like I said earlier, you know, we're only one bad decision away from, you know, not being where we're at now. Right. And that is something that I always check myself in the door. And, you know, if I could give, you know, one last message to the listeners, you know, you matter. You matter. Right. You matter. You matter regardless of what you've been told, regardless of what you think you look like, regardless of the way your hair is or, you know, or your accent of where you're from or your past. You matter. You know, you are worthy. Do not be ashamed of your story. Do not embrace it, because those that you seek advice from and those that you look up to may have a similar story to yours.
Yeah. Dr. Anzalota.
Anzalota, yes.
Yes, yeah. Anzalota, we thank you. Sincere, like, your story, people need to hear that it is possible. And with all that you could be doing, choosing to take time out of your busy day, and you are very busy, choosing to take time to inspire others, to help speak life into other people when you don't have to, means the world to us. And it is a part of the reason why we developed this platform. It is a part of the reason why Dr. Chapman was inspired to do this series, was, you know, he's always trying to find ways to inspire others to try to be the best version of themselves. And you are absolutely the perfect guest, and we appreciate you and all that you do. I sincerely mean that. Like, anyone that chooses to speak life into others and give parts and pieces of who they are to people that they don't even know, that is greatness, and that is amazing, and we thank you for that. We thank you for all that you've done tonight, but not just tonight, all that you've done in your life and the things that you will continue to do to help speak life into others. We just appreciate you and thank you.
I mean, thank you so much, Dr. Hinton and Dr. Chapman. Thank you so much. I'm glad down when you hit me up. Right? I'm glad it wasn't yesterday, right? You know, and that is why relationships matter. You know, these relationships are really lifelong. And thank you both for this opportunity, for this platform. I'm here for whatever you both need. So let's carry on.
Exactly. Thank you so much. Again, for those who are listening, questions, comments, suggestions, ideas, or perspectives, you can email us at b2bpsych@gmail.com. b2bpsych@gmail.com. Again, as always, we continue to thank Marshall University. We continue to thank WMUL 88.1 FM for giving us this platform to have these conversations, to speak life into community, to speak life into those listening. We thank you. We do not take this for granted, and we thank you for this opportunity and this platform to do this. As we always say, and as I always say, taking us out, as I always say, graveyards are full of regret and potential. Make sure that we all have a time when you leave that you die empty. Don't take anything to the grave with you. Everything you want to do, try to do it. Every goal you want to have, at least try to achieve it. Everyone that you love, make sure they know. And as I always say, make sure that you are absolutely positively doing something that sets your soul on fire. And with that being said, peace and blessings to everyone out there. We thank you. We love you. Thank you for continuing to support. And as always, Dr. Chapman will take us out.
All right. So we had an opportunity to hear from an inspiring speaker, a colleague of mine. I guess it's been about 11 years now, and seeing where you're at now in your journey, and, you know, feeling like, you know, our stories are different, but they relate in some ways. It's something that I definitely appreciate you taking the time to be here. And I just want to, on behalf of the students and the generations of students that are affected, to thank you for your service and your service as an administrator. Having my brief stint in administration, I realized that what administrators do are not always necessarily appreciated or really understood all the way down to the student body and what's happening. But what you do and just your work with students, but also the policies and different things, is important work, and just wanted to acknowledge that. So if I sum up, I guess the takeaways I think we have for today for the listeners, we're always trying to find key ingredients that we can take away so you can, you know, put them into your pot and your recipes for greatness. One that stood out to me was finding your purpose. You know, Jaime says he was able to find his purpose early on, but even if you weren't able to do it early on, you can do it now. You know, I'm assuming that there is something inside you that's screaming out and wants to be discovered and wants to come out, wants to flourish. You just have to take time to listen to it. The one that I think is harder for us to do that I think was highlighted in this is to feel, and to feel the pain. You know, we got to go through that tunnel, and there's no guarantees about how long that tunnel is going to be. But I think we would all like to believe that if you go through that tunnel, you will grow through that tunnel. The scary thing is going through the tunnel. Taking care of ourselves. Now, you know, the whole analogy of the plane is important. We can think about it when the plane is going down, putting yours on first. But particularly for those of us out there that are helpers, I think one of the reasons that we might neglect our own health is because we think it's selfish. And the thing is, if you're a helper, you're probably not selfish. You're probably the type of person that would, you know, think about yourself last, but when you think about yourself, you maximize your ability to help others. So really helping yourself is helping others. If that helps you help yourself, hold on to that. Pushing forward, even when you don't believe you can do it. It's nice to have the belief, but I think one of the themes I took away from this story is he's grown in his ego strength, but there was a period when he didn't believe as much, but he still did the steps. You know, I say the steps work if you work them. Well, you can still go through a process even if you don't believe it, and then actions will happen. You're like, I don't know if this is going to work, but I'm going to do it anyways. And I think that would be one thing to keep in mind. The other thing is my dad used to say, he said this to me at an odd time in my life. I just got out of the military. I was struggling to find a job. I had like a torn ACL, just went over a blood clot. And he said something crazy to me. I thought it was crazy at the time. Like, smell the roses. Smell the roses? What you... You're like, I can't find a job right now. What you mean, smell the roses? But I think that was highlighted here when Jaime is talking about he's looking in the room and we're realizing where he's at. I think sometimes we're in pursuit. We're always going to be in pursuit. But since we're in pursuit so long, we forget to just look around and see where we're at. Now, I don't necessarily agree you need to smell them when you were in a situation like I was in. But but I do think that it's good to sometimes smell the roses. And the other one is the bigger one. Embrace your story. You know, in my journey, I think even with this series, we've had the opportunity, me and Keelan, to invite people on that we know and so many interesting stories. Everybody's got a story and you don't know who that story will connect to. But your story is for somebody and not just yourself. So if you can embrace your story, there's no reason for you to shy away from it. Your story is your story. Sometimes we live in families and situations where we've learned that, oh, this has to be a secret. You can't really tell nobody about that. Why would you do that? That means, you know, it reflects badly on me. Well, your story is your story. It makes you who you are. And not only that, sometimes other people learn from your story. It's like planting seeds that will grow in other places. So I'm hoping that so far in this series, we've been planting a number of seeds that we're able to take away from the guests that have been coming on. And lastly, we just want to thank you again for coming out, Jaime, and peace and blessings to you all.
Thank you so much.
Recording stopped.
You can tell everybody, yeah, you can tell everybody, go ahead and tell everybody, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man, yes I am, yes I am, yes I am, I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
This is the student broadcast voice of